Welcome to the Elk Shea Podcast. I'm Dan Staton. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate your support. Let's get to it. So today we're bringing on my homeboy, Landon Loving Boss. I love saying that last name. Landon and I met 3 years ago at an Elk Shea camp in Utah. He was the Spirit of Elk Shea camp recipient, meaning he exemplified leadership, dedication, discipline, and he just cheered for others' success as well as his own. And he had the greatest effort and attitude at that camp. Since then, he asked if he could come up and hang out for a day. I said, absolutely. So he drove all the way up from Salt Lake City, Ogden, to hang out for an entire day, work out, talk about life, shoot bows, break bread, all that. And so we brought him on at the end of the day. So that's what you're going to hear. Today's podcast is brought to you by Matthews Incorporated out of Sparta. Currently just set up the title. You should check that YouTube video out. That's a target bow. I'm not a target archer, but holy crap, I could see why those are more fun to shoot. Very accurate, probably the best bow ever made. And yeah, I'm biased, but I'm telling you right now, straight up. Born Primitive Outdoor, having some spring sale going on right now. Head over to Born Primitive Outdoor. Use the discount code OAKSHAPE, take additional 10% off. Get your layers set up for spring bear, spring turkey. It's just around the corner. If you're in the market for any glass, that's binoculars, rangefinders, spotting scopes, obviously you want to put MagView on there if you're getting a spotter. Discount code ELKSHAPE, 10% off. But if you need to get a discount on glass, I got you. EuroOptic.com, discount code ELK10, ELK10, take 10% off. Hook it up. While you're doing shopping, make sure you have your Onyx Elite membership, especially if you're doing your elk applications. Reminder, the Montana deadline is just around the corner as well as Colorado. Use discount code ELKSHAPE. We'll take 20% off your Elite membership. That's where I'll do all my desktop e-scouting. Get it in 3D, drop my waypoints, create my hunt folders, get my hunt plan. You guys know the drill. Discount code ELKSHAPE. We'll take 20% off. Wilderness Athlete. Get your multivitamins. I like the good stuff. It's got your fish, probiotic, 3 multis. Get that. Take your branched chain amino acids and your creatine HMB always post-workout, and then Brute Force for your post-workout shake. It's got carb and protein. And then you can also backfill some of your nutrition. If you need like snacks, look at the pack-out bars and bites. Get a lot of questions about what arrow am I running. Currently, I'm using an Easton X10 Parallel Pro as my hunting arrow, and it weighs 447, and it's also the exact same weight as the Easton Axis 4mm long range. I practice mainly with the long ranges, and I save the X10s for hunting. I shot the mountain lion with the X10s. I'll be shooting my bears, hopefully, Lord willing, with an X10. Broadhead of choice, don't have one right now. There's so many good ones out there. Right now, I'm pretty hung up on Iron Will Wides. I'm also pretty stoked about the Slick Trick Magnum SS. Stands for stainless steel. It's a four blade. Got that in 125. Shot the mountain lion with that. That's pretty cool. Crispy's coming out with their latest and greatest. I think their boots drop April 1. So be on the lookout for the Laponia 3. That'll be my go-to. The new one is the Laponia Light as well. They're very similar, just a little bit different application depending on what you need. There's a couple other new ones that they're dropping. That be on the lookout. I'm kind of stoked for those drops. Stealth Cam's got new drops in 2024. They got a couple of new cameras that are going to hit the market, mainly in the cellular department. So if you're looking at run cellular cameras, I do have a discount code. It is ELKSHAPE10, takes 10% off. Non-cellulars, it's ELKSHAPE20. They have this new revolver that's going to be able to take and scan an area when an animal walks through, video or photo, and you can set up for however many degrees you want that camera to pan. There's nothing worse than getting pictures back and it's just like a little part of an animal or an antler. The camera will be able to pan based on the sensor, and then the Command App Pro that they have is legit. I'm going to be running those. I'm getting a couple of boxes sent to me. I'm going to be getting those deployed real soon. I got a lot of trail cameras to go pick up as well. When we do that, we'll make some videos and show you how we go get our cameras after a long winter soak in the mountains. I got cameras in Idaho and Montana and Wyoming to go get. We'll probably do a full week and send it. QAD, I put the new try on that title. So this rest is legit because you can torque tune with it. It's a blade, so it's not like cable driven. It's not limb driven. And then you pick the right blade based on the arrow. And then the top part can swap out if you want to run different setups. Never tried that before. It's been awesome. Super easy to tune. So you target guys out there, if you're looking for a good rest that you can also torque tune, which is where you can move the rest in or out to basically mitigate the actual torque you put on a bow. You can also do that with a dovetail type sight where you can move the sight in closer or further to find that right sight picture. So I like doing a little bit of both. Cufaro's got new drops in 2024. My goodness. The Manimal for you whitetail hunters. I got an order for that. We have the 4300. It's the KU 4300. That's coming out. I have that in hand. That's probably going to be my first choice for bear hunting. And then they have the new Arc frame, all carbon. Right now I have the Bedlam on the Arc. There's two sizes, the 22 and the 25. So if I could just tell everybody, order the 25 unless you're shorter than me. I'm 5'7". So if you're shorter than me and you have a short torso, grab the 22. If you're 5'9", grab the 25. If you're 6'3", grab the 25. And you can put retrofit any bag on there. And they have some new drops as well. So check out Cufaro for that. And that's pretty much the updates that I got so far. There'll be more coming in hot as it's kind of like spring's kind of here finally. And hopefully your fitness is not suffering. In fact, with the extra daylight, you're getting more repetitions in the gym and with your archery equipment or whatever it is that you do in separating yourself from the others. Let's get into the pod with Landon and break down his story, and we'll catch you at the end of the pod. All right, we're live. Elkshape Podcast in the house with Landon Foss from Utah. Ogden, Utah, to be specific.
Ogden.
I know Ogden. It's good. And then we met 3 years ago. We figured it out at an Elkshape camp. Is that right?
Yeah. I went to the Elk Shape camp. We were supposed to have a meetup sometime after that Elk Shape camp. It didn't exactly work out. And then I just hit you up via email. Here I am.
Yeah. Thanks for coming up and kicking it. What we did today? Well, you showed up. We worked out kind of hard. And then we went to the archery and shot our bows until our arms would fall off. And then you guys shot some more. And then we came here and we're doing a podcast and we're going to eat elk burgers and we'll call it a day.
Yeah. Intense day. It was fun. Workout was good. Intense workout. And then shooting bows all day is taxing, but also fun. So it's been awesome.
70 degrees on the tomorrow's the first day of spring.
Couldn't ask for a better day for sure.
Yeah. I think all in all, like I laughed. I'm going to tell Jeff, I'm like, this is what we're doing for a job today, I guess, is we're working out and hanging out with our bro. So you came to our Elk Shape camp in 3 years ago, and you were Spirit Elk Shape Camp Award. So that's a kind of a cool award that we hand out at every camp. We've always done it, and it's kind of a special way of like recognizing an individual for not their merits during camp as far as like, oh, they shot the best, or oh, they're the best elk caller. More behind the scenes of like, this guy's a leader. This guy is the first person to ask the hard questions. He's holding the other campers accountable. Without this person, this camp would not be as good as it could be. That was you.
So I had a good time. I definitely lost my inhibitions early on with regards to my career. If I don't understand something, I'm going to ask. It's what I'm there for, you know? And so I definitely had a lot of questions for you and your guys at Elk Shape. You know, not afraid to speak up. Sometimes I might even speak up too much, but I don't know. It's a way for me to solve problems, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so getting into your background, you're a couple of years wiser than me. And you, I was like, well, what are you doing for work these days? And you're like, I'm unemployed. I was like, oh, okay, it's probably his wife works. I'm like, so what's your wife doing? She's like, she's a stay-at-home mom. And I was like, okay, explain to me what's going on in your life.
So I had a 20-year construction career, a pretty good career, got on with a good company, and had a good professional life. And then, you know, the circles that I run in and the people that I listen to, you know, there's always that talk about taking advantage of your kids when they're young, being a part of their lives when they're growing up. It's the most important thing that we can do as fathers. Man, and I can't tell you, like, I believe that to my core. Mm. So I had an opportunity to take some time off, hang out with my kids, read books to them in the morning, be there for all their games, that kind of thing. And so that's what I've really tried to soak up this last year. I have, I guess, aspirations, you know. I want to I've been an employed worker, I guess you could say, for 20 years on someone's payroll, and I've always thought to myself that I could do something by myself. You know, I kind of snatched the opportunity in both cases there. Take some time off, get my professional life rearranged, and you know, I'd like to get into a couple of ventures by myself and see what I can do.
When did you decide to take a break?
I started thinking about it around COVID, but with regards to the leap off the cliff professionally, you know, my company and I, we just started going different directions, and it was a mutual good separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was pretty much it, and that happened 13 months ago.
Okay, yeah. So you've been out for a year. Your kids are 8 and 5. Is your 5-year-old boy already in school? Are you homeschooling? What's the vibe?
So we do a little bit of half and half. They go to a my wife's going to kill me for this. It's not a normal public school. They go to a charter school, I guess you could say, 2 days a week. And then they're at home homeschooling the other 2 days. And then they get Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to do, you know, kid stuff.
That's legit.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when you say that you want to, like, maybe get back into the game a little bit, but more like your game, not someone else's game. Translation, he wants to build his own dream, not someone else's. That's cool. I'm into that for sure. What does that look like for you right now? Like, what are you prospecting?
So what that would look like to me is building, first off, I guess, get some inflow of revenue, right? So you get some income coming in so that I can start to stack that. And then I take the income or the capital that I've built and then start to invest. And then so over time, what I'm looking for is to get some passive income that becomes, I guess, that increases over time, get some equity and some good investments, and then, you know, eventually pay down any assets that I invest in so that I just have passive income, you know, coming in while I'm sleeping is the idea.
Okay. So this sounds like real estate stuff to me.
So definitely real estate. I'm going to use what I know with regards to the construction industry. Consulting is a business, is a real thing. People do it. You just got to kind of find your way into, you know, some of these companies and figure out how you can help them and, how you can add value to what they already have going on. So you really I'm kind of selling myself to them, to get them to, take the bait, I guess you could say.
All right. So you kind of like your lifestyle right now, you know, you're home quite a bit, but you're still like pretty busy. Like I was talking to you earlier today about everything from I do jujitsu, I'm in my 40s. Cause we're kind of making fun of you for being like banged up a little bit because our other buddy does jujitsu. He's 45 and his name's Josh. Shout out Josh. He does listen to this podcast. And he's like, every time he comes over to work out with me and Jeff, it's like, well, what's hurt on you this week? And he always has an answer for us. But how long have you been doing jujitsu? I guess I just, talk to me about like a typical day in the life for you with your nutrition, your training, all that jazz.
Okay. So jiu-jitsu started for me in 2009. It was always around. I had high school friends that were like the day after UFC won, they were all in it. And so it was always around, always on my mind. I dabbled in it here and there. And then 2009, with my career, I moved around the Western United States quite a bit, even the Midwest here and there. I kind of picked my life up. I kind of started to start a life in Arizona where I was living. I was gathering up a female that, you know, maybe a potential marriage material. And my work. And my work's constantly, when a job ends, you pick up and go to the next job. That's kind of the way that it works. Broke off my relationship, called my boss, told him, hey, I'm ready to move to Houston from Phoenix. And so I think it was like 10 days later, I was towing a U-Haul to Houston. So I got to Houston, started jiu-jitsu. The point is that I was out there by myself. All my friends and family were in Southern California and I was out there by myself. So I figured what better time to focus on myself for a moment, and I started working out and started doing jiu-jitsu, 2009. I quit a little bit when I married my wife, got distracted. There's about a 5-year interval there. So, you know, 13, 14 years minus five years, 6 years minus injuries and stuff. So yeah, it's been a good amount of time.
No doubt. So what belt are you, I guess?
Purple belt, working on my brown belt.
Okay, so you're not like a schmuck, like you know what you're doing on the mat, but you were telling me that a jiu-jitsu practice for you is a couple times a week, and it's a two-hour endeavor, a lot of rolling and skills. But mostly skill work, and then the back half, the back hour is like straight up physical,
it's rolling.
You are burning calories.
Yeah. So a jiu-jitsu class. So again, with my kind of shift in personal life, it's given me a lot more time to train. So I've been focusing quite a bit. One of my friends opened a gym, so I'm training with him. He's a black belt. And, you know, so a typical day looks to me, as far as jiu-jitsu goes, show up at like 5:30, leave the gym at 8. You got a good, you know, hour of rolling, 5-minute rolls each time, and then maybe a minute in between. So you got a good, you know, you're working, your cardio is getting worked.
Yeah.
You know, and those gis are big, heavy pajamas. And it's amazing how soaked they get.
You just get soaked in sweat.
Soaked in sweat. So you're working.
Okay, so then heart rate zones, you talked about that today. What zone do you think you average for 2 hours in jiu-jitsu?
So the first hour, you're probably at zone 2. You know, you're not exerting too much. But then the last hour, you're definitely in zone 3 constantly and probably playing with zone 4 for a good amount of time.
Okay.
I mean, like what we did today was probably, it's equivalent to, you know, 3 or 4 good rolls in a row. So it was, it's definitely something I've seen, but zone 4 is hard to live in, that's for sure.
Do you think your like mobility is good as it pertains to what we did in my gym / what is required to be pretty deadly at jiu-jitsu with all the chokes, including the ones with your legs?
Yeah. So the mobility is interesting. You know, one benefit that comes with jiu-jitsu that you don't think off the bat, you're constantly stretching. You're constantly keeping your body in that kind of limber zone so that you can, so that you can perform. And that definitely helps, and translates over to, working out for sure. With regards to injuries, major injuries are few and far between. And then there's also, you know, you're constantly dealing with something's nagging, you know?
Yeah. It's a physical sport, but you're competing and you're in your 40s and you're still like getting after it, as Jocko would say, who's a huge practitioner. But have you signed up for the tournaments and done the whole competition side of things?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I first started doing jiu-jitsu, I had done a bunch of tournaments. I was doing them, you know, every time tournament season came around, I was in it. The gym that I was working out at was real focused on, and the guys in there were beasts. You know, you think you're awesome. You think you want to do MMA or something, and then you get punched in the nose by a professional fighter and it, your thoughts kind of change quickly. But, competing is good. It's excellent for someone to feel that pressure. You know, there's definitely a benefit you pull out of it to be able to hone that pressure. You know, we deal with pressure in elk hunting. To be able to hone that pressure when you're competing, try and control it basically. You know, at the end of the day, when you leave a tournament, whether you win or lose, the people who love you are still going to love you.
That's true.
It's a perspective that you got to put it in. Otherwise you'll beat yourself before you go on the mat. You know, right now, I'm dealing with that in elk hunting when it comes down to the moment, you know, you're at full draw, you got a bull in front of you. It's time to do what you need to do. So I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to bring that jiu-jitsu focus over into my elk hunting.
I like that. Signing up for stuff that's hard is kind of a good thing in my opinion. And you seem to gravitate towards hard things. And I kind of wanted to get your perspective and just walk through what we've done so far today. So compare and contrast, like you roll in, we go right to the gym. I told you, hey man, 15 minutes, warm up as long as you need, but just get to where you're feeling good. I explained the workout. We basically did a pretty structured strength piece. Then we did a pretty high intensity conditioning piece with compound movements and assault bikes. And then we did like even a finisher at the end for like partner, I would call interval workouts. How was that workout flow for you, and compare and contrast it to what you typically do?
Okay, so the workout flow was good. It was hard. So it's kind of that CrossFit structure, right? Mm-hmm. And the exertion that goes into it. I mean, it was tough. The conditioning piece in the middle, I was struggling. Never thought about quitting, but I slowed down. But the reason why I like working out with others, as opposed to like my gym in my garage, is the pushing that comes with it, you know? There's always moments where, I mean, you can cut a last set when you're by yourself and nobody knows.
Yeah.
And except you, but, except yourself. But the pushing today was hard. The conditioning piece was brutal towards the end. But I enjoyed it. I like that kind of stuff and it was good for me.
Yeah. You were there for it. You definitely liked it. It sucked. And then the finisher, the shuttle work, the change of direction. I mean, we probably only were in the gym for an hour.
Yeah, if that. But it's crazy also, you know, you do a burpee and you think I can do these all day. This is not a factor. But then, you know, you add it with exercises on the front, exercise on the back, and then you do, you know, 100 of those burpees and it gets draining for sure. But I mean, I don't know. I always feel like you got to push yourself.
Yeah.
You got to always be there, especially when you get older, because if you don't, I've watched people my age go downhill fast.
Yeah.
And so, you know, keeping myself there has always been something I've always done. It just comes natural to me. You know, I started working out when I was 15. I've never been, you know, the stud weight builder, but I've always just kind of been consistent. So
I think that's everything is the continuity. The cool thing is that you basically did a normal workout day for me, right? And you were able to not only hang, but I thought excel really well. And I like the time economy that we kind of put in an hour start to finish. And I felt like we were super productive. But what the take home message for maybe those tuning in is that anyone can beat themselves up. That doesn't necessarily equate to a good training bout. For me, it's about a stimulus. I'm looking for like to get a specific adaptation. I'm not looking to get injured first and foremost.
Yeah.
I'm looking to gain something from that bout. And today's piece was more or less, it was a ton of just muscle stamina in the legs specifically. We were doing high rep everything and able to kind of stay working through a big chippery type style of workout. Elk hunting's kind of similar in that when you are out there, it's just, there's always work to be done. Because elk like to travel up and down mountains all day effortlessly. And then we're up there in their neck of the woods trying to navigate, traverse, go through that topography that they like, think nothing of it. Fitness wise and elk hunting wise, are you doing enough to excel as an elk hunter physically?
So I always think I can do more. And I try and shoot for that in the off season. I try and keep my, not only my motivation, but my discipline so that I'm ready to go. I mean, the hills that we hike when we elk hunt are, they're no joke, you know, like 1,000 foot ascent and then 1,000 foot descent or descent and then ascent on, you know, I don't know what the grade would be, 15, 16, 20%. I mean, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. And especially when you're chasing elk, my dad always said like, an elk can walk faster than you can run.
I believe that.
And, you know, keeping up with them, chasing them, you see, you know, you got to have, to me, you got to have the drive to be sitting up on a bluff, spot an elk that's on the other side of the drainage and want to get up and go after him and not be like, well, it's pretty steep over there. It's getting late. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've done that.
We all have.
But I don't like it. And I think about it too much.
Yeah. So, less thinking and more going, more sending. Do you think what you're doing currently is helping you prepare mentally for public land elk hunting?
Yeah, mentally. So I give it all back to jiu-jitsu again. So where I believe my training and my weightlifting is lacking, jiu-jitsu picks that up for me.
That's your edge.
Yeah, for okay. Sure. Because again, to be 3 or 4 times a week, to be in that, you know, that high level cardio range,
mm-hmm.
It just, you become familiar with it. You become more comfortable with the way it feels and you can just go. There's a cruise control that you can hit when you're making an ascent where you can just go. It might not be the fastest. Someone might be faster than you. Someone might be slower than you. But if you can just consistently get to the top of the hill,
yeah,
you know, that's what counts for sure.
All right. And then we moved on to the archery range. We went to Spokane Valley Archery. That's kind of like where I've grown up shooting. Went there today to find no one there. They're closed Mondays. The range is open. One of my buddies was there shooting, messing around, and that was it. We had the whole range. And so take everybody through what we did there because that was not a normal shooting session.
So we did like a beast 3D tack shoot, I guess if you could say that. I mean, we were not on any trail. We were not posted up at any shooting spot. We were shooting from the bushes, over grass, over hills, uphill, downhill, sun's in your eyes, can't see anything, put a hat over my friggin' sight so I can see what I'm doing type. It was tough. It was tough. And I told you I lost more arrows today than I did in my last two tack shoots.
That's saying, because you're a good shot. I mean, we were making some level 10 shots today, and maybe we weren't making great shots, but we were putting ourselves out there. I personally love Total Archer Challenge for the fact that I just know it makes me more confident for elk season, which is why I typically use my actual hunting setup for Total Archer Challenge. Not that sexy target bow over there that would be more fun to shoot. No, man. And then, sorry, the craziest shots taken today weren't necessarily the furthest. It's usually the ones with the most harsh light.
Yeah.
Or the most hallway, to where like there's branches sticking in the way, grass is covering the vitals. It's just not ideal. And I feel like the more not ideal shots we could take today, the better. What was one shot that you were like super proud of?
Well, I guess the moose at the end where I was in the 10 ring and you weren't.
Oh,
I guess. I mean, that's the truth for sure. There was other hard shots. I mean, I always have room in my game to improve 100%. My discipline when it comes to the pull through on my shot process is lackluster at best. I know what it feels like. I know what it takes to get there. I know the mental discipline that it takes to get there, but it's just summoning that mental discipline for me every single shot that I'm challenged with. Mm-hmm. So
I really liked those mountain goat shots we took. They were like about 85 yards, but it was all like just harsh, then shade, and then a little bit of harsh light on them. And then the angle was not only uphill, but it was tilted. So like, it was like hard to, you were fighting your bubble. You had to stay true to your anchor, and it just really exposed any glaring weaknesses in your archery game. Like if you punch the trigger or if you aren't comfortable with your pin moving, because it's going to move, and then just setting your feet on up. It's just, those are the kind of shots that I really want to get good at and make them bankable, so that when I'm in the real deal and the bull elk's half the distance, 42, 45 yards, I want it to look like it's just a chip shot.
Yeah. Those shots, the ascending shots, the descending shots, the slope in, the slope out, you know, you need to get good at all those. Cause to be honest, I can't remember one elk shot that for me, and I don't have, you know, a whole lot, but that was ideal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything has got a little asterisk on it, mm-hmm, with regards to, oh, this would have been a good shot, but you know,
yeah,
with regards to ideal situation.
Mm-hmm. The elk hunting thing that we probably want to get into is, when I was public land elk hunting, man, I was the worst. I would get myself into positions to kill bulls, and then I would kind of mess things up at the last possible second. And then I finally figured out what I was doing. I was thinking that if I didn't get this arrow out of my bow at this very second, I was not going to get another opportunity. And it wasn't until I think it was early, like probably 2011 is the 1 year where I really started stacking up a lot of success, to where I actually was like, I'm going to be a little pickier on this third bull. And I had another tag, and I started getting encounters with bulls, and I wasn't worried about shooting them. Like maybe I'd call in a 5-point, and I was like, I'm not going to shoot this 5-point, but I am going to definitely pretend like I was, to see. And I'd be like, okay, right then and there, I would have drew. And then all of a sudden the bull takes 6-7 more steps and stops broadside with his head behind a tree and his vitals exposed. And I was like, okay, if I was going to kill that bull, I would have definitely taken that shot. But look at that shot that I could have got if I had more experience with bulls in the red zone. I'd say a few years of that, of like maybe having an elk down so the pressure wasn't there, and like having a second tag and getting a lot of encounters, man, it really showed me that I need to chill out a little bit more. And it's kind of what we were talking to with Jeff and his shot process, is he's using that Ibex release. Mm-hmm. And the thing he kept saying is like, Dan, this is making me like literally slow down and think about stuff that I usually don't, like how I'm going to grip the bow, how I'm going to pull the bow back so I don't punch myself in the face, and so the animal doesn't see me get the bow pulled back, how I anchor, how I get the string to my nose, when I look at the animal, how to check the bubble, get the aiming done, and start a process. Like, you're so wrapped up in the moment of the, all these things that the killing of the animal is going to happen. Whereas a lot of people get so wrapped up in the animal, they don't think about any of those things I just mentioned that Jeff is working on. And the next thing they know, it's like the pen is on Brown, I'm gone. You hit a branch that you didn't see, you hit a tree, or you just shoot high, shoot low, you wound, or you take a marginal shot that if you just waited three more steps, it would have been. I mean, so to me, archery and elk hunting and getting that tag punch is about recognizing the animal and how it's like this percentage of success and probability of success just continues to climb as you become more patient in those really exciting moments. Do you feel that?
Yeah, definitely agree. I gotta say I've been in almost every situation and I've messed up. I feel like I've messed up almost every single way you can mess up. Yeah, being able to isolate that anxiety and then own it in that crucial moment is what, you know, I'm working on right now. That's what I need to do. I remember a hunt recently. I got to the spot. I was drawn back and I was focused on everything I did, calling, cutting the distance, getting to the right spot to ambush. I did everything right. And I'm thinking to myself, you're doing good. Keep going. You know, this is all working out fine. And then at that moment was when I let go of all my discipline and started thinking about something that I shouldn't have been thinking about.
Which was?
I can't believe this bull hasn't spooked yet. Instead of my shot process. So my shot process is not that. It's yeah. It's definitely... aim, you know, get your bubble centered, anchor point, get your bubble centered. Okay, here we go. Pull. This is what I need to be thinking.
Yep.
But instead, I mean, basically I was thinking, hurry up. I can't believe this bull hasn't spooked yet. And then, you know, I saw Brown and here we go.
And it's over so fast. And then it's, if Joel Turner was standing there, he'd be like, okay, what were you thinking? And you would be like, you don't want to know, Joel. It's not what I was supposed to be thinking. I was having thoughts. I actually wasn't thinking. You were having thoughts. Yeah. And he talks about that in great depth. I highly recommend you guys get any podcast with Joel or check out his course. But he's been a huge game changer for me. The other thing that we talked about was how can we get you more repetition in the red zone? And you had some ideas. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, so I mean, I love hunting of all shapes and sizes for sure. So I want to try spring bear, which I've never been a bear hunter. I want to definitely do the Texas April hunts, the coming out of off season, you know, back in, it's getting warm a little bit. Let's go get some time in the red zone. I want to do that. And then antelope hunts too. So, I'm a big fan of game meat. I figured those trials will help me get a little more focused when it comes to the big dogs.
Yeah. Now, bear season for you as a Utah resident, I mean, there's nothing really over the counter in Utah for spring bear. So you need to look at Wyoming, your closest state, or Idaho, Montana. Those are going to be kind of, or even if you're feeling froggy, Alaska, there's an adventure. Tons of bears. When it comes to Texas, April, depending on what part of Texas, could be. I was talking to my buddy who lives in Texas yesterday. I was like, what's the weather like today? He's like, it's going to be 85. You know, that's, everything's green right now, but it's hot. So what are you going to hunt and then meat care and things like that? I think when I think of Texas and guys in the reps in the red zone, I think about obviously pigs, but just so you know, like I would prefer spot and stock pigs over pigs at a feeder. Pigs at a feeder are spastic little creatures running all over around, and they almost, like, I've had them induce target panic to me where I'm like, boom. Yeah. And then I'm like, what just happened? But there are opportunities to do it right, do it proper. MLD tags for ranches that need a certain amount of does killed, especially in the fall. That's a great way to go. They need the does killed, and you know, you're signing up to do that. That's a great opportunity. There are like exotics and stuff like that. And high fence, low fence. I've done it all. That's all really cool. But Texas is there, man. Like that would be my first nod or vote would be like Texas for reps in the red zone. Antelope hunting does expand your season, but again, Utah's got great antelope hunting. It's just pretty stingy with their tags, even to residents.
Right.
But you do live close to Wyoming that has an abundance of, you know, speed goats. And I actually, speaking of wild game, that's my favorite wild game.
Like, is that right?
The end.
Really?
Yeah. People think I'm weird, man. I just think antelope meat's the most tenderest, best. It's my favorite wild game. You know, it's elk is second to antelope.
Interesting.
Yeah. And axis is tied with elk for me. And some people would kind of flip those around a little, and that's cool. But getting you to the point where you're in a position financially where you can take the time to go elk hunting for weeks on end. That's huge. You recognize to do that is a withdrawal from your family's account, love account. So you understand to offset that. Maybe kind of circle back to that. Like, I know you had mentioned today you plan on elk hunting damn near the whole month of September. What's the steps you're going to take between now and then to ensure that that goes well?
Well, I guess the hardest part, logistics aside and all that good stuff, the hardest part for me is leaving my family. I mean, that's tough. It usually doesn't come until the day of, maybe a little bit of anxiety prior to, but so I hate that feeling. So, you know, I talk about it with my kids, my little ones. They know that I'm leaving. They know that I'm going out into the forest to chase some elk. So when the day comes, it's not a surprise. And we've been talking about it for a while with my wife, make sure that she's set up, you know, cars don't need maintenance, dog food bin is full, you know,
the little things
around the house that, so where she can just focus on her job because she's pretty involved in our kids' lives in and out of the house. So I like to make sure that, I think you've said it like this, that the gas tank is full with regards to, say, the little things around the house. Freezers are full, that kind of thing. Bank accounts are good to go. No trouble. And I can just go and then, you know, text them I love you every night before I go to bed.
Yeah, I think if you haven't hunted that long, I'm talking weeks on weeks, and you have an 8-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old boy, that's going to be your kryptonite to come out early. I'm just going to warn you, man. Take it from me, a guy who's pretty callous towards that. And this year it is getting increasingly more difficult to be gone, even though I live to elk hunt, man. Like, I'm a fiend for elk hunting and elk bugles. But, man, day 28 last year with no elk on the ground, and I'm like, I've missed my kids' first day of school. I miss my wife. I haven't seen my kids. I haven't hardly even talked to my kids or even gotten a FaceTime off. Like, nothing. It eats at you. So I don't know. I don't have advice for you, but I'm just going to tell you, like, don't be surprised if you find yourself on a really good elk mountain full of screaming bulls. You're in your spike camp and you're thinking about going home.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be perfectly normal, but I'm here to tell you, they'll be there when you get home if you did things right. And you will not be in a basin with bulls screaming year round. It is September comes, September goes. So it's definitely, I mean, if you figure out how to balance it all, please certainly let us all know.
I certainly don't have a winning formula, but I know that I've done it before. You know, I typically hunt about 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks. I think I hunted 2.5 weeks last year. So the hardest part, like I mentioned, was leaving. There was one point where I was elk hunting down south, and then I had to go meet buddies up north, and I actually passed by our off-ramp on the freeway going to the other elk camp, and that was tough.
Oh.
That was really tough. But
brutal.
When I get into elk camp and I'm working, I'm good. There are the lulls where you're kind of sitting back at camp, you're back at your truck and you're like,
it's the lulls. That's where the voices speak the loudest.
Tough day. You know, there's supposed to be elk here. There's no elk here. I could either go to my plan B spot or, man, I could just shoot home. So I've definitely had those thoughts. But my wife, she helps me out too. You know, she lets me know, you know, we'll be here when you get back. You need to work. This is what you want to do. So she's always helped me out with that motivation.
That's so good, man.
Yeah. And I also tend to park sometime where I can get some Verizon action.
That's fair.
And call the kids. And
that's a big morale booster, that little FaceTime. But man, wherever I was hunting last year seemed like I couldn't get service to save my life. I know when I did get service, I certainly take advantage of it. But being a husband and a father and a guy like you, you know, you're setting the deck where I just wanted to finish this podcast with kind of talking about Landon Loving Foss's best practices to be a better dude. That's what we're going to call this. And it seems like step one, be a provider. You've always been a good provider for your family?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think I have. Yeah.
Okay. Step two, take care of you so that you can take care of them. You do a lot when it comes to taking care of yourself.
Yeah. And again, praise to my wife, you know, for letting me go to jiu-jitsu 3-4 times a week. You know, I get those workouts early in the morning. When I feel better, I know what it feels like when I don't work out. For me personally, when I don't work out, my mentality, the whole way that I just carry myself, it is, in my opinion, it's pretty noticeable difference. So when I'm working out, I'm a better person. And like you said, that translates over to being a better person for the, you know, the close ones around me. So I'm into the self-discipline to help myself be a better person.
Okay. So once you've done those things, then as a best practice for yourself, like, I don't know how you would tell people this, but like, have you discovered what your wife's version of elk hunting or jiu-jitsu, what is her thing?
You know, it's taken me a long time. I've been married 13 years now. It's taken me a while. I was probably a little slower than your average guy, but I know my wife's thing. She's going to love this. Like secondhand stores.
Yep.
Rummaging through secondhand stores and bringing home what I would, misspeaking, call junk. My wife loves it. She wants to bring this stuff home. She wants to open a store where she can sell this secondhand stuff. She wants to be online selling this stuff. Yep. She likes getting it, dressing it up a little bit, and then selling it for a profit. So that's her thing. And recently she's been talking about getting into that a little deeper. And I'm like, hey, maybe we can open a store. Maybe you can start getting, you know, some brick and mortar thing going on. And, you know, if you'd like that. So I want to support her in what she does. I don't always do a good job, but I try my best.
I watched my dad's wife kind of start out that way, but in the tack world for horses.
Yeah.
I think she even worked at a tack shop at one point, and then she was like kind of going around secondhand, thrifty tack.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to cut to the chase. Fast forward like 6-7 years of her selling stuff on Marketplace and eBay. She finally had so much of it, she opened a little storefront on their ranch over there, and she's got hours. But she also liquidates things for others and does, you know, consignment for other people and does an eBay store and some stuff to Amazon. And I'm like, you have literally created a little entrepreneur side hustle that's actually kind of like snowballing. And it's fun to see people get into stuff like that, make a little money at what they're good at, what they enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it boosts her morale. So she's walking around a better person. She's more, you know, everybody's happier to see mom when mom's happy, so to speak. So supporting her and her endeavors is definitely something, you know, that I can always get better at for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned you shot a couple tacks and didn't lose as many arrows as you did today. What tacks are you shooting this year?
So this year?
Yeah.
I want to shoot RMEF this year. I want to shoot all the life-size elk targets.
Which event?
Oh, Utah.
Obviously.
It's in my backyard. You know, I can wake up at whatever. If my shoot time is 8 o'clock, I can leave the house at
freaking 6:45. I'm going to warn you, we shot that course last year, the Salt Lake City Rocky one.
Yeah.
They ain't all full size.
Oh, yeah. Really?
They throw some mini elks in there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, not as many as, there's not as many full size ones as you'd hope for.
Good to know. I shot the knock on course a few years in a row. That's always a fun course. And then, there was one other one. Not that the Sitka one's always fun, but there was one other one in there. I can't remember.
Right, what's the mountain it's at? I forget. It's is it Brighton? Solitude?
Brighton? Solitude?
Is it Solitude? It's Solitude. I don't like how spread out it was. Meaning there's like two mountains and then like the, I don't know.
Well, it was a different mountain this year.
Yeah.
Last year.
That's where we went. We went to the Solitude.
Yeah. And then before that, it was at a different resort. And I liked it better at the previous resort.
But oh, okay.
I'm sure
it wasn't Snowbird.
No.
Okay.
To be honest, I'm horrible with those names. So
that's fair. That's fair. We are doing Big Sky only this year. We like tried to figure out how to do Colorado and just could not make it work with our schedule. But I really want to do North Dakota, Colorado. I want to like meet everybody and go to all of them. I love TAC. If I could do a TAC tour, I totally would, because it's the best. The people are so, it's the people, and I just don't get tired of shooting bows all day.
No, it's a sweet event. I usually go by myself. Occasionally I'll meet up with a friend there, and it's, I tell my wife it's so cool because you show up, everybody there is like you, so to speak. You know, all the stands with the vendors there, spectacular. And then you got that, you know, that constant happiness that comes with just shooting 3D targets all day.
All day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you were using, speaking of knock on, I seen you with the classic, I got a knock to it, two finger. Basically a wise choice that's a two finger is a knock to it. And then you have the silverback, which is...
No, that was a stand.
Was it a stand?
Yeah, stand tension release.
You have a stand tension activated release.
Yeah.
I thought it was a silverback. Okay, tell me about the stand tension activated. When did you get that, and when and why did you bust it out today when we tried to look at your third? We set up a third axis line on a target today and had him and Jeff Dodds just shoot that uphill and downhill. We weren't going to make any adjustments. I just wanted to see where you guys were at. And then you busted out that instead. Why?
Yeah, because, you know, we mentioned our targets earlier and the 3D shoots that we were doing. But, I mean, my nerves got to me and I was punching the trigger. And I, like I said before, I know what it feels like to execute a perfect shot. And inversely, I also know what it feels like to make a horrible shot or punch the trigger. And the stand keeps me honest, because when I just can't hone that discipline to pull through my shot with my knock to it, I just whip the stand out and it forces me to. And the shots show it for sure.
Yeah. I want to get Jeff in here if you don't mind. Jeff, come on over. Okay. So you were shooting 36 yards uphill with a green tape taped so that it was perpendicular on a black bear. And then we shot the stone sheep, again, about a 15, 16 degree angle, 43 yards downhill. Were you able to tell, I think I said I wanted to look for a trend. Were you able to find a trend today?
Yeah, so all my downhill shots were definitely trending all right. And my uphill shots, I thought the group was pretty consistent, maybe a tad bit right. But I hit tape three out of my four shots were on the tape.
On the uphill.
Yeah.
And on the downhill, not one hit the tape. They were all over to the right.
They felt very clean and good breaks. So
here's what we'll do.
About that.
We're going to do that again and again for like the next couple weeks. Like we'll go make a video out there and then we're going to be like, all right, Jeff, it's Jeff's time. Have you shoot that and that and just over time see how we trend. Because here's the thing about third axis, and this is the part I wanted you to hear, especially Landon, is like I've been up there and made a third axis adjustment and it's usually like it's like an eighth of a turn of a bolt. And I've been like three quarters turn and I'm like missed the target. So when you guys do go to fine tune, it'll be like breathe on the bolt just barely, and that's all it will take to move you. So that's just your words to the wise. And then Jeff, take my mic for a second. I just want to give a quick recap because you were filming today. You've never met Landon. I knew Landon was coming in. I knew he's just a bro. Like I just knew we could bro out. Give the guys your thoughts.
Well, Landon, thanks Jeff for coming over.
Yeah.
No, it was amazing. Obviously, it was the first true like sun up to sundown bluebird beautiful day we've had in 2024. So the energy was already up by the time we started. My first impressions of Landon, you're a very slow to speak guy. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of speak when spoken to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're very quick to give people your full attention, and I thought that was really cool. You gave it your all in that workout, which is impressive. You didn't go out too hot, So I'm very impressed by that, because a lot of guests, that when they work out with Dan, they get sucked into the vortex of Dan's pace. And I mean, me, I still do it, and I work out with him almost every single day. And so that was impressive. That takes a lot of maturity to kind of stay in your own lane and kind of let Dan do Dan things in the corner. But you finish strong, you know, for not usually doing a lot of CrossFit style high intensity workouts. You crushed that. And then we went to the course, you know, I mean, for reference, we could have gotten sunburned today if we weren't careful. So that sun was out, you know, we were feeling it. You were shooting awesome, but I don't know, to me, it was more fun just to, you know, shoot with a quality person more than just like, you know, watching how good you are. I just like hanging out with good people. So I appreciate you coming up and making the drive. And I would also give you the March 18th Spirit of the Day Award.
Yes.
So thanks for playing with us. And
yeah, man.
Hopefully you see you soon. And I hope you, you know, crank all the tags that you have this year.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. It's fun hanging out with people with like minds. So thanks.
Absolutely. For sure. Oh, and we kind of grew up near each other. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, Southern California-ish, mm-hmm. Right?
Unfortunately, yeah. Don't judge us. We couldn't help where we grew up. But
hey, California is a good place. It's just governed poorly.
Horribly, yes.
So, yeah. My grandparents were cowboys. And in Southern California, there was, back in the day, there was a little bit of wilderness left. And my uncle used to be a rodeo clown.
No way.
And my grandfather was a cowboy up in the Big Bear Mountains.
Oh,
and,
no way.
And my old man, I just, from the beginning, I got a chipmunk gun that's probably shorter than, as long as my forearm. And, you know, I've always had a gun. I had a bow in my hand early on. And I guess I was just raised right, so.
Absolutely. Cowboy and Big Bear, that's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful place. Here you go, Dan.
Cool. I like bringing Jeff in just because he's always got a fresh perspective, like as a camera guy. Yeah, you're worrying about lighting and f-stops and lenses, but you're also observing. And he said something there that I keyed on, like maturation. Like, dude, you're a pretty, like, just...
That's a funny word.
A mature dude, in my opinion. Like, a grown-up.
Yeah.
Like, I like grown-ups. And you just kind of have your shit together.
That's funny, because I think about myself, and I'm like, you are just a kid. You know? Like... I used to be a punk back in the day in my adolescent years, and I don't feel like I ever got to like my dad status. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like grown up, this is what a dad looks like type thing.
Yep.
But I also think that times have changed and people have changed. So, you know, I'm just doing my best.
Mm. Now you growing up, Jeff somehow found out today that he asked me to, have you ever been arrested? And I was like, as a kid, and I was like, well, does being 21 count? And he's like, oh yeah. Well, I was like, all right, cool. Then yeah, I've definitely been arrested. How old were you when you got arrested?
Well, I guess it was,
the first time.
Yeah, no. So nothing for anything ever too bad, but I guess 17. It was my 17th birthday, actually. The night of, yeah. So my friends and I just did a little malicious mischief. It was ridiculous, but it was a bad story because they didn't catch us that night, and the police somehow they found out where we lived, and so the police got to come to my mom's house and take me away. So that was awesome, but. You live and you learn, you know?
You're stealing mailboxes?
Yeah, you know, something of that nature.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Doing some stuff that, looking back, not sure why, but, well, dude, what do you want to end the podcast? I usually just have our guests, like, either give some shout outs or depart with a little bit of wisdom that you've learned on 44 years on this planet or anything on your heart that you want to share.
Well, I guess the older I get, the more honed in I want to be on being a good person, you know, and trying to figure out what that means. The discipline that comes with working out and jujitsu and elk hunting is all fits into that very good. You know, having God center focused in the family, a community of some sort, and man, being the best dad I can possibly be, because at this point for me, my kids are the absolute most important thing for me in my entire life. So being a dad and giving them those, raising them right, is a challenge, and especially in today's time. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that, and I'm trying not to screw that up on a daily basis. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. The, you know, just finding some focal things, you know, good with yourself, good with God, you know, and try and be a good person outwardly to everyone. So,
yeah, I feel that, because life's got its seasons, and we're in a similar season. You know, I feel like I'm not very mature, but I am kind of mature. Like I do, like I've lived long enough to not have an excuse to be immature, but like I'm in that stage where like I got a boy, I got a girl, I got a little girl that I look back and I'm like, am I taking her on enough daddy-daughter dates? Like, oh, yeah. There's only a finite number of those, and she's my world, man. And then I have my boy who, you know, he drives me crazy. You know, he drives me absolutely nuts, but he's formidable. He's like literally moldable. Am I helping him build the right mold, the right template? Then you also got to look at balancing, like, the kids are really important, but they're not as important as the marriage. The marriage is the centerpiece of it all working. And so we as men, we got to like self-evaluate, do a performance review on ourselves, quite honestly. And I would be lying if I said, man, I'm excelling most of the time in some of those departments. So it is important to talk about these things. And I like how you said that the kids, and like, you're just trying to raise great children in a world right now where, quite honestly, I think it's almost,
it's hard,
man.
It's hard. It's hard to keep that center focus on what really matters with regards to religion, with, you know, family-based relations, and you know, the phones and the apps, and the kids don't have phones, but the cartoons that they watch, the characters in the cartoons have phones, and you know, so it's hard to keep that society, you know, on the outskirts, so that you can keep them on the straight and narrow. So that's a challenge that I see, you know, daily.
Here's what I'm looking forward to, man. I want to come back and check in with you in about a year. And if you want to just come back up and hang out, I mean, we're here for it.
Yes.
But we like Landon Loving Foss, because I knew I liked you the day I met you. You won Spirit Oak Shaped Camp Award. I only give those out to people that deserve it. And then maybe you haven't killed an elk with a bow yet, but damn it, I feel like the noose is tightening. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to say the noose is definitely tightening. I can do everything. I got to figure out that last moment. And I've been through this with deer hunting. I know what it feels like. I know what buck fever feels like. I know what it feels like to overcome, to the point to where I'd get a 4-point in my scope and I'd be like, all right, you know, maybe not today. You know, maybe fine. So I know what it's like to evolve and get there, but I am finding it a little harder with elk than I did with deer.
Hey man, I took me it took me 4 years of tag soup,
mm-hmm.
and it took me 8 seasons in Idaho of not getting an elk, and I wouldn't change it for the world, because it literally made me the hunter I am today. Like, I will never ask for like, oh, I wish I could go back. No way. I am so thankful for all the heartache and long walks of shames, and then these off seasons where I'm just like, it's kind of what made me elk shape was not being successful. It's what made me so intense. You know, I'm an intense guy. You can tell. It is because of failing at elk hunting for so many years in a row. It just like, it made me determined as all get out.
Yeah, it's a crushing blow for sure. I always pull out of it. You know, like the thought of the next season, the thought of like doing it better next year, it just keeps me going. Mm. And it's not hard to keep me going.
That's cool.
With that regard, you know?
No, like, I like that.
The walk of shames are brutal. since elk shape, I haven't left the forest before sundown, and some of those walks are pretty darn long.
My last hunt with Jeff was it was his last day of filming. He had to go back to his real job, and we burned it down and we sent it, and then we paid the piper for sending it, and it was like, oh, it's dark, and we have 15 miles to get back to the truck. And you don't notice it while you're out there.
No.
But then when the sun sets, and then I just remember being, I mean, I just remember that night, and we walked forever, and we still, like, and then when we got to the trailhead, we remembered we parked several miles from the trailhead, like three, I think, or I maybe it was two. It doesn't matter. The truck wasn't at the trailhead. It was like, we got to walk down the two track now for miles. And I love that. I mean, guys, I love this. I love elk hunting. I love meeting good people. Almost all the elk hunters I meet and rub elbows with, they're just good people. They have their priorities in check. It's not all about just elk hunting. It's about making a difference in this world. It's about raising the right children. It's about doing uncomfortable things. So shout out to Landon. If you are interested in doing a jiu-jitsu, man, go try out a class and do some rolling. If you want to stretch your archer game out, go to a total archery challenge with your squad and just have some fun and test your limits. We are lucky. We are fortunate to call ourselves elk hunters.
Very much.
Separation is in the preparation. We'll catch you on the next one. Guys, as always, thanks for choosing our pod. You have a lot of options out there. We really appreciate it. And we hopefully can bring you good stuff that's informative, educational, inspirational, motivational, so that you're staying on your grind. Because Spring Bear is just a few weeks away and I plan on spending several nights in the mountains, I'm just like, all the stuff's fresh in my mind. Right now, Peaks, I have on my website a lot of Peak stuff that's not in stock on peaks.com. But if you can find anything at Peaks website, use the discount code Elkshape, take 10% off, get the Duo headlamp, the Solitude teepee, the new Solace sleeping bag, gaiters, trekkers, whatever you need, Elkshape 10% off. And I think I, on my actual website, I still have some Peak Solitudes. Those seem to sell out so fast. I have about 30 left, I believe, on the website. So if you're in the market for a backcountry shelter, that's what I'm going to recommend. New partner is GoRuck. They are offering all our listeners 10% off. The discount code is Elkshape. I'm looking at getting the Rucker 4.0 and their new weight vest just to add to my ruck training. Sheep Feet, discount code 10% off always. Guys, everything starts from the ground up, and these are custom orthotics built off your feet that will go into any boot. And I'm telling you, it is a game changer. The hype is real. Crossover Symmetry for all your shoulder injury prevention. Discount code Elkshape takes 20% off. And lastly, what I sleep in the most is not a rooftop tent and is not a teepee tent. It is actually on the ground next to my truck on public land in a canvas cutter. Discount code Elkshape takes 10% off canvas cutter. Get the Dominator. Keep it real, guys, with your family and yourself. Be honest with yourself. Are you projecting? Are you going to hit your goals? Are you on pace? What things do you need to change? What little tweaks need to happen so that you can be the best version of yourself? Pour into yourself so you can pour into others. Separation is in the preparation. We'll catch you on the next one.